Welcome to the second season of Goals Do Come True, the show that takes a deep dive into the systems and processes that help turn your business goals into reality. Hosted by me, Doug Bennett, the Goals Guy. If you like what you hear today, please remember to share the love by liking, sharing, and reviewing the show. It helps spread the word to others looking for help with their goals. Anyway, let's crack on. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Goals Do Come True with me, Doug Bennett. Today, I am joined by Aaron Stoll. Now, he's with P3 Cost Analysis and Analysts. Get my teeth in. That's not the important thing about this guy, all right, because he's the founder and chairman. He got his start in the cost reduction industry when he founded P3 at the age of 22. In his spare time, he enjoys flying aeroplanes and is an instrument-rated pilot. I'm going to ask him what that means. And he's also a certified flight instructor. He enjoys traveling abroad, hunting, hiking, mountain biking, and attempts to surf whenever possible. He's an Eagle Scout, avid. I'd so want to say Arkansas, but it's Arkansas Razorbacks fan. And he holds a degree in small business finance from the University of Arkansas. Aaron, that's not what we got you on for today, but tell us a little bit more about yourself, how goals fit into your life, and we'll tease some stuff out of you. But thanks very much for joining me from across the pond. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate being on here, Doug. So looking forward to it. But yeah, I guess a little bit more about me. I started the business that I'm in today when I was 22, just fresh out of college. I was just really scared about entering the real world and getting a 9-to-5 job. So caught the entrepreneurial bug my junior year in college and got into real estate, actually, and did that for a little while and then started this business after that. So I've been doing that ever since and just been growing the company. Like you said, in my spare time, I really enjoy going on adventures around the world, international travel, and high adventure sports. So that's that in a nutshell. And yeah, we can dive into the goal part whenever you're ready to.
Yes, I do like to ask people straight off, have you got any big, hairy, audacious goals that you're working on at the moment or that you've achieved in the past? And we're going to touch on mini retirement. So there's a whole section on that because that's my excitement bit. I want to find out a bit more about, but go for it.
Yeah, there's a couple of big, hairy, audacious goals, I think. First, though, might be helpful to talk about like a small attainable goal that really allowed me to have some of these big audacious goals. When I was 22 and got started in this business, I was really naive and ambitious, overly ambitious. I was trying to land Fortune 500 companies, and we can talk more about what we do specifically later if need be, but I was trying to land companies that were way too big for who I was at the time and went 3 years without making any money as I was winding down that real estate business that I was in. I was really not sure this business was going to work for me and down on my luck a little bit. And I just set a goal. I was going to say, hey, you know what? Let's start small. Let's get 10 local small clients, see if we can help them save some money. Enough of this grandiose vision of riches at 23 and landing one or 22 or whatever it was, landing some big account that's going to be retirement money right off the bat. And so I set a goal that I was going to land 10 small accounts before I gave up. And it was because I set that goal, it allowed me to see the business work, help some people save money, actually start generating an income. I was able to hire somebody. And then from there on, over the next 20 years, the company's grown to what it was. So I think that's probably, for me, one of the most important goals that I had early on. And I've always enjoyed international travel, adventure. But when you're 22 and you haven't made any money and you don't have any money, you can't really do that. Setting that first small goal has led to a couple bigger, big, hairy, audacious goals. One of them, personally, I've been to 55 countries around the world. Before I kick the can, I'd like to see all of them, which is 212-ish. I think it changes all the time. So that's certainly a big, hairy, personal goal that I have. And then business-wise, we've got 41 franchisees across the country now in the U.S., and we think there's room for about 500 in the U.S., and we're going to be looking to take that international as well. So those are a couple big, hairy, audacious goals, but I think they were fed by that smaller goal to start out.
I think that's an... I'm glad you stopped me. And I'm glad you brought me back to the sensible goal, the smaller, realistic. And so many people have this goal. They've got a side hustle. They get a little bit of traction. And then they give up the day job, launch 100%. And obviously, when the airplane takes off, the guy goes full throttle, even though he only needs 40%. And you do need to go full throttle on things. But you need to cut your teeth and make sure what it is that you've got works first off. So I like that. That's a big, important message. And then the next thing, it took 20 years to get to where you are now. And that's the other thing, is there's so many people get rich quick. And nobody tells you that it can't happen at 22, 23. And you believe that you can rule the world. And of course, you've been living with your parents predominantly for most of your life. So you know everything that there is to know about, absolutely everything as well. All right. Why not go for these big ones? But I think some people get a bit of luck. Mm. They happen to be in the right place at the right time and it takes off for them. But predominantly, it's hard work.
That's exactly what I mean. There's no secret other than hard work. And that being said, I never try to talk people out of being that young, stupid, overly ambitious kid, because like you said, the world's been shaped by some of those people and you never know, you might get lucky, but ultimately you just got to work hard and keep making baby steps along the way. You'll get to the top of the mountain and then find another mountain to climb.
That's a good one too. I like that. Yeah, just find another mountain. Now, mini retirements. Right, I'm 60. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sold a big chunk of my business a few years ago. Probably could have called it a day then. Probably would have been better if I'd called it a day then, to be fair. Because, you know, you obviously get new ideas when you get some money and it fritters away. You go back to the 22-year-old, put your mind in things that maybe you should have thought a little bit harder on. But anyway, so I'm looking at, I love what I do, right? I meet people from all over the globe. I hear snippets of ideas which reinforce the ones I've already got, but there's new ones in there that I can develop. So I love doing this. Right. So I can't see a need for me to stop. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think your message about mini retirements is great for everybody, but especially people that are younger. So where did you get the idea from? Right. And tell us about some of your mini retirements and what the thought process is behind it, so that people can get the real essence of it, because I thought this was golden when I saw it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And yeah, I can't take credit for the idea. The way we implemented it in our business with our employees, I think we can, but the idea came from Tim Ferriss originally. It was back in 2007. And this was like toward the end of that 3-year period where I was like overly ambitious, trying to land these Fortune 500 companies and not doing anything. And then just about out of money. And I was in Barnes & Noble and I saw Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek, on the shelf. And obviously it's a great title. And I picked it up, started reading it. And he advocated for these mini retirements. And that was probably one of the things in the book that resonated with me most. And the idea is that instead of waiting until you're a pension age in the US or 65 or whatever that is and quitting work and then drawing down that money, you take a few months off every however often throughout your life and completely cut off work and go do something that you enjoy or something that's on your bucket list. And so obviously the book shaped around creating a company or a little muse or business that can fund that lifestyle. I know not every company in the US offers paid sabbaticals for their employees, but that's where the idea came from. And that honestly, the idea of taking mini retirements was probably the first kind of big, hairy, audacious goal that I had, because I didn't have any money. I didn't have a business that made any money, and I hadn't taken a vacation in 3 years. And so when I set out to land those 10 small accounts, the first goal was really to get the income up to the point where I could take some time off and go travel and do the things that I enjoyed. That was really what drove me and motivated me to complete that goal, was to get a lifestyle that allowed a little more freedom. And so in 2011, and so the goal was to land those 10 accounts and then have a mini sabbatical or mini retirement every 5 years. That was my goal. It turns out I don't know why, but it turns out it's been every 6 years. So aim for the stars, hit the fence. I didn't quite get on the 5 year mark, but I've done three now. In 2011, I went to South America and lived in Colombia and learned Spanish, spent 6 months down there. And then in 2017, I got my flight instructor certification and moved to Alaska, did some flight instruction up there for the summer and went on a lot of amazing outdoor adventures and airplane adventures. And then just this year, 2023, 6 years after that one, I spent time in South Africa and Indonesia pursuing my passions of golf and surfing. And I think for me, that's just been really important to have that time on the horizon. And this year, we decided to roll that same opportunity out to our employees. So that's probably one of the things that I'm most proud of, is being able to do that. I know the partners in the company are as well. So we've offered a paid sabbatical for employees that have been with us 5 years. They get 1 month paid. If they've been with us 10 years, they get 2 months paid. And 15 years, they get 3 months paid. And I'm sure if they stay with us 20, we'll do it again. So we have a couple employees that already are at that 15-year mark that took the 3 months off, and other employees in various time ranges. That was a pretty fun perk to hand out, the gift of time and the ability to pursue things you're passionate about.
And feedback-wise, it gives you a good feeling. It even is giving me a good feeling, the fact that you're doing it. I'm getting hairs on my arms lifting. So what sort of feedback have you had from your team members for this?
Yeah, it was actually pretty surprising. We work remotely around the country, so when we get together, it's on Zoom or Teams. And I remember when we rolled it out, we had a couple of people's kind of screens, they turned their camera off. And I was like, oh man, I don't, maybe this isn't going that well. And one of them, I was asking her, hey, you there, where are you at? And she finally turned her camera on and she's, oh, I'm sorry, I had to run downstairs and tell my husband about this. She was so excited. And so it was very well received, more than I thought it would be even. And also to that point, we had some people that only been with us 1 year, and that 4 year time horizon wasn't too far out. They were very excited about staying with the company and working. Obviously, we have to provide them growth opportunities along the way, but they're very excited about this opportunity even 4 years down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did a similar thing with my team members. They've got young kids. In lieu of a pay rise, because I'm a relatively small company, in lieu of a pay rise 1 year, I said, okay, what we'll do is we'll give you an extra 2 weeks annual leave, but you have to take it in the summer holidays, which is when the kids are off school. So the kids tend to be off school for 4 to 6 weeks. So they were always tending to take 2 weeks off anyway in the summer holidays. So I said, well, you're going to get another 2 weeks, but you have to take it in the summer holidays. So that they had 4 weeks out of five, I guess, that the kids are off school. And I got some amazing feedback. I get quite emotional about these things because I'm quite woolly, Piscean, emotional, etc. And when Suze came back from the summer off, she said, the memories that we've made, and without worrying about the fact that I had work to do, just it makes you feel, as an employer, makes you feel good. And I think it's something that, you know, it doesn't, all right, there's a cost to giving somebody a month sabbatical. There's a cost. However, I have no doubt whatsoever that the fact that your team hang around forever because they know this is coming, all right? The support that they feel that they're getting from you is paid back to you, tenfold, easy.
100%, yeah. And I think also it really helps strengthen the business too. When either me or anybody else steps out of a role for an extended period of time in the company, you can really see what's working, what's not. And that's allows other team members to step in, and there builds a little bit of team camaraderie there, helping each other enjoy this time off because they know it's going to be reciprocated. So there's all sorts of intangible benefits you're talking about there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the flight thing. I touched on it when I was introducing you. All right. I get what a flight instructor was. I need to find out what is the phrase that you used, which is an instrument rated pilot. Is it simple?
the simple
sounds complicated, but
the act of learning it and flying the plane in those conditions are complicated, but it really just means you can fly an airplane in the clouds. That's probably the easiest way to put it. You don't have any reference to the ground or the horizon. Without that, if you're not instrument rated, nobody's ever been able to actually prove that they can survive those conditions without utilizing their instruments. You can get really disoriented in the clouds as a pilot, but if you're instrument rated, you have the technology, it's not that difficult.
Oh, okay. Relatively straightforward. I was overcomplicated in my head. It's relatively straightforward to fly a plane, right? I'm being dry. It's dry British humor, okay? This is Goals Do Come True. You've got some big, hairy, audacious goals. How do you work your goals? How do you put them together? Are they written down? Do you have an app? Is it standard operating procedure within the business? Do you share it with your team? Are they expected to do stuff? Or is it just, no, it just happened to be you, the goals man?
Yeah, I think thinking about that a little bit, there's probably a hodgepodge of everything. With day-to-day stuff or weekly stuff, I do make lists, but I wouldn't really consider those goals. That's more just helping me stay on task and get some stuff done that either moves my personal life or the business forward. But when I think about actual goals, I think about more long-term stuff. And I think both in the business and in my personal life, the biggest thing that I do there is communicate my goals to other people. So I have I have a huge need to be consistent. And it really bothers me to say I'm going to do something and not do it. To the point where it can get dangerous if somebody casually mentions something and we're like, yeah, let's do it. It's probably going to happen. If something's important to me in the business or in personal life, I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to tell people this is on my mind and this is something I'm going to be doing by X amount of time. And I think I've got a pretty good track record of actually doing it. So that's, for me, that the idea of not following through, not that it would be letting anybody else down because it's my goal, it's not theirs.
Yeah. But that's the important thing.
But the idea of not following through and becoming someone that talks about more than what they do motivates me quite a bit to see my goals through to completion.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello, I hope you don't mind me interrupting this episode. Just wanted to tell you about one of my other businesses, which is DB Wealth Planning and Preservation. We do cash flow modeling, lifestyle financial planning, and wills and trusts. So if that's something that's on your agenda, if you want to see what your future looks like well ahead of the game, then pop over to my website, dbwpp.co.uk, and we'll help you create your future and protect your assets. So that's dbwpp.co.uk. Anyway, let's go back to the podcast.
Sharing with other people makes you accountable for a start. And it also enables you to get a bit of a buy-in, certainly from family members, because there's some people out there in the world that go and do some really seriously crazy things and they need a lot of support from their spouse in that regard, especially if it's like life-threatening type stuff. But have you done, you've learned Spanish, you've taught yourself to fly. This year, what, you were South Africa, did I say, or Africa and Indonesia. What side hustle did you do there while you were away?
I did really just played a lot of golf, met a lot of new friends, went on hikes. I was traveling with another buddy of mine that just sold his company. And then we had some friends come down from the U.S. to visit and played tour guides. So it was really more about, and I did, you know, a little bit of volunteer work. I'd like to do more in the future. And when I was in Colombia, I taught I taught English to some kids in one of the poorer neighborhoods. So I try to incorporate a little bit of that in my sabbaticals. I need to do a better job of it. But so side hustles were really just exploring and soaking it up and unplugging and recharging the batteries. And then when I was in Indonesia, I just really surfed every day. I've gotten into that over the past few years. And there was like a mini goal there as well. I was off the coast of Sumatra surfing in some islands out there. And I don't know how I ended up on that trip. I was just Googling and turns out I was in way over my head for my skill level for the size and the complication of the waves, and got my butt kicked the first day. But I set a goal to catch 100 waves over the 12 days that I was there. And some Australian guys that were there that were way more experienced chipped in and gave me a lot of coaching and helped me out. And literally on the last day, I caught exactly 100 waves. So that was a fun goal to hit. So anyway, don't know if that answers your question or not.
But. Oh, yeah, no. So that's it. You were switching off, right? Doing something that you love and improving it that was totally non-work related. And then you say you play golf and did a little bit of the charity stuff. And that's cool. And that's what people should be doing in their retirement. And so very often, unfortunately, they've left it a little bit too late to be able to do it. There's no way I could go surfing. Really. Don't say never. There's no reason to say never. But I hear what you're saying. You just think it's... At 60, things are easier to break. So you just got to be a little bit more careful. But no, I like that because it's let's give ourselves a target, a goal, to put ourselves in a position where we can take time off without the business going pop while we're not there, say, and getting... Presumably, you've got all the systems and processes in place so that people can step in when their colleagues are gone on sabbaticals. It's all these little lessons that will make the difference to the listeners. It's not just as simple as I'm going to take some time off. There's a little bit of work involved. Anything you can add to that?
Yeah, 100%. I think you're right. I think so. Some people hearing this conversation, they might be like, this is insane. And I think, to be fair, the idea of just giving your employees this time off without working on the business and trying it in a smaller scale first would be relatively insane. And then again, this is a Tim Ferriss thing. I don't want to make it sound like I'm coming up with this stuff on my own, but he made a really good point in the book, whereas if you leave for a week, you're going to come back to a mountain of work. Probably nothing's broken, but you're going to come back to a mountain of work. This is for the solopreneur with... one to 20 employees or something. Mm-hmm. And then you leave for 2 weeks and you're going to come back to a mountain of work and probably a few things that have broken. Mm-hmm. But if you leave for 3 weeks, what he was saying is that you're going to come back to having your employees have fixed a lot of those problems on their own, feeling more empowered, more trusted. And you're going to be able to see who steps up, who can't, who needs to be in a different role, who's in the right seat. And you're just going to find all these wonderful things about your business that you can improve upon. And so I think that's the first steps there. And in the meantime, you're taking time off. You're the business owner. You busted your butt. You've risked so much of your life. You should be able to do these things. You don't want a business that owns you. And so you really just have to bite the bullet and hold your nose and take the time off. Mm-hmm. And see what happens. Mm-hmm. And then improve from there. And it doesn't take a whole lot of time after that before you can start really stepping away for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's obviously all predicated on having great people. I couldn't have done any of this without having awesome people on the team. So I don't want that to be forgotten here. But there is a process that you can go through as a business owner to test and make this work and implement it. And then ultimately give it back to your employees, which I think should be the ultimate goal.
Big ultimate goal. Yeah, I like that. I've got a philosophy. I heard it somewhere. As you say, we don't come up with these ideas. We read it in a book or see it on a conference and it makes us look great. But we've invested an awful lot of time, money and energy in reading the books, going on the courses. And I think so we should take some of the credit in that regard. But what I do with my team is I said, look, right. It's £200, which is probably $250. I want you to make decisions. If it's going to cost us less than £200, $250 to put it, if you get it wrong, I'll pick up the tab. But I want you to make the decisions. But I'll back you 100%. If the customer's out of pocket because you made a decision and it turns out to be wrong, and it's like up to £200, I'll pay them so that they're not out of pocket, but you've had an opportunity to learn, right?
Great, yeah.
Never, ever paid anything.
Wow.
So I increased it to 1,000. So now they're making bigger decisions about things, knowing that if they get it wrong, I'll back them 100%. The right people is the important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And supporting them in their goals and dreams and aspirations is an important thing. Giving them the time off, paid, awesome. All right. You get it back. You get it back with loyalty, with them going the extra mile themselves. And it's very difficult. We look out on the world and it seems like nobody wants to go the extra mile for anybody. And it's no, pay me my money and then I'll step up to the position. It's right. No, kids, it doesn't work like that. You've got to step up, do the job, and then we'll pay you. I think that's a lesson that people have got to learn in that respect. Goals, then. I'm going to ask you for a goal-setting nugget that we haven't touched on at all, right, that Aaron can come up with, which is, people need to know this.
It honestly might just be a little bit of a recap of what we talked on, but I would say something that I always thought about after failing on the big goal of landing these Fortune 500 companies was just how much more really enjoyable starting small is and how much more of a story that it creates, right? There's never a good story out there without somebody struggling. Nobody wants to hear the story about the guy that got rich just waking up or the wedding that went perfectly according to plan. They want to hear like a struggle. And I think in that regard, it's okay to have really small goals and you should starting out and just achieve little baby steps. So I think so often when we're goal setting, we're thinking about gigantic things. And I think having small goals can be as important or more important. And then again, just to reiterate for certain types of personalities, I think communicating the goals to other people is really going to help out. So if somebody wasn't already aware of that, try it out. If you're big on consistency and follow through or just knowing that people view you that way, then it's going to really help motivate you to get to the end.
Good one. I like that. So P3. Okay, it's going to be global. We have no doubt. You set the goal, so it's going to happen. Okay, but what do you do? I'm not going to even guess. I did have a little look on your LinkedIn profile, but tell us about that, because obviously it's going to be coming to the UK at some stage in the future, and people will need to have heard it here first, and that's all that blah, blah, right? But tell us about P3.
Yeah, so we're a cost reduction consulting firm, which is a mouthful, but it means we help companies and governments around the U.S. and North America right now save money on overhead expenses like utilities, telecom, waste and recycling, copier expenses, property taxes, and several other categories. So we have experts in each of these categories, and many times people that have worked for the bigger vendors out there that provide these services. And we'll engage a client on a shared savings basis. So we say, hey, we can use our expertise in these fields to help save you money. If we can, we simply share in the savings. If we can't, there is no fee. So it's a risk-free opportunity for businesses and city and county governments to save money. And we've been doing it for a long time. We've worked at over 30,000 client locations across North America. And so we're able to leverage all that data aside from the expertise on our client's behalf to really know exactly, hey, what you're paying for this service in this town or what your peers paying for it. And then also identify errors and overcharges for refund opportunities. It's an industry exists just because there's always going to be errors and overcharges. And then the way these companies operate on their pricing, they're always trying to sell the same service to somebody else for the highest price. So you end up with kind of airline seating pricing. And having a company like ours is really the free market solution to make sure your company isn't overpaying for these services. And since 2018, we converted to a franchise. So now we have franchisees, 41 franchisees, I think in 25 states and growing. And our franchisees really act as our business development arm in some sense. Yeah. So they're out there. It's the easiest way I can explain it would be like a stockbroker type office where it's the local broker's job to educate the clients on the suite of services, know enough to be dangerous onboard new clients, bring them in, maintain those client relationships, but they're not the ones picking the stocks or managing the mutual funds, right? Our experts, we do that at headquarters. Our franchisees are on the front lines out there talking to the clients. So that is the probably 3-minute elevator pitch there of the business.
No, perfect. And the reason there was a couple of things in there was, okay, it's on a shared result. And that was intriguing me because I've just recently done a challenge within my Wealth Tribe group. And I was thinking, maybe there is something in this shared situation. If I can help them create or improve their business somewhat with my mentoring, that we can see at the end of the 3 months they're this further forward than they would have been. There's maybe some, because so many people are like reluctant to write a check, whereas you've got it perfect because it's let us in, let us have a look. If we save you some money, we'll share it with you.
Exactly. I think a lot of our, the biggest objection, I think one of the biggest objections we get is people think it's too good to be true. What's the catch? Okay. And ultimately I'm like, there is no catch. We're going to make money too. We get paid. That's the catch, but it is a great offer. And that's where people's minds go there first. I think the shared savings model or the shared percentage of increased revenue is a great model is in industries where you can one measure it. So there's not going to be any debate or ambiguity that can cause strife. It needs to be easily measured. And then in industries where people are reluctant, and it'd be this, if we went and said, hey, pay us 50 grand, we're going to reduce your trash costs and cut us a check up front. People be like, hell no. We already got this covered. You know?
Yeah.
And we know that they don't because we find savings 90% of the time. But again, I don't think our business would work really any other way than the shared savings model.
I like that. I do like that. And that gets, there's a couple of ideas now bubbling in my head about things. And that's why I do this, right? That's why I get to talk to people from across the globe and they come up with their ideas and something's just going to nibble away. Now, I would imagine most of my listeners are predominantly in the UK, so we haven't got any business piling your way, all right? But so I really appreciate your time on this podcast episode. I'm sure we must be associated with Justin Breen somehow. Did he introduce us?
He did.
He's an absolute legend. Yes. We'll have to let him know that. And are you part of the Strategic Coach Program as well?
I did it for a couple of years, year and a half. Yeah. That's where I met Justin, and we've just kept in touch ever since.
Okay, and are you a 9 quick start?
I am very high quick start. 9, or I think I'm a 9 quick start and a 9 fact finder. I'm like super high.
Oh, wow, wow.
Yeah, which it's hilarious. It's funny because working with Justin a couple of times, I'll ask him a million questions and he's, what the hell's wrong with this guy? He views me as a high quick start, but I have to ask a lot of questions on the front end. And then as soon as I get enough data, it's let's go.
But it's a 9 fact find. Can you ever get enough data?
Yeah, I think I can. maybe I need to take the Colby test to get it.
See if he beats back a little bit.
Yeah. For me, it's just all about getting over that tipping point where I feel comfortable and have enough data, and then it's off to the races. So I don't get stuck too often in the analysis paralysis stage, but it can happen.
No, it's cool. And for anybody listening, Colby is a psychometric test that we've both done. It's, you know, part of one of the programs that we've been mutually enjoyed. Yeah. When we talk about high quick start, we flitter from job to job, new thing. It's our problem is our follow through invariably. It's, we need a team behind us that tidies up all the mayhem that we create. But maybe I'll go into that on one of the episodes in a little bit more detail, maybe get an expert on, because I think we all need to know how we are. So that we can get the right people for the right positions for the right job. So I might think about that. Aaron, I really seriously appreciate your time here. I love the mini retirements thing. I think it's got to be the biggest takeaway. And if you can give it to your staff eventually, that's got to be awesome. It's cool that, you know, you took time off and just learned to fly. That's like amazing. So I really love that. It's been an absolute pleasure. Just before we head off, anything else that you want to share, you think? Because just every now and again, people go, oh, I wish I'd said that.
No, I think we've covered all of it. It's been really enjoyable. Appreciate the time here.
Okay, we'll call it a day then. And thanks very much for joining me from across the pond in Arkansas.
There you go. Yeah,
we got it. We'll catch up soon.
Okay, have a good one. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to Goals Do Come True. I'm Doug Bennett, the Goals Guy. Please remember to subscribe and review on Apple, Google, or Spotify. Visit dougbennett.co.uk for the latest on transforming your life through goals. Happy goal setting. Until next time.